Hallelujah. We have the Tylers here today.
That's right.
So we're excited to have the Tylers here.
Yes.
Heather
yes.
and Cody.
Amen. Let's call the Tylers up.
Yeah,
we want to see the
up,
Tylers
guys.
And hear from them.
Yes.
Cody and Heather. And I saw the boys too.
Oh, I didn't get to see them yet.
Excited to see you guys.
It's like a family reunion. Come on in.
It is.
Y'all
got to
come
is.
Up here.
Come on up,
because they can't see you until you come up.
I hadn't even got a chance to say hi to you guys yet. So they're getting ready. They're on the heels of deploying now to Kona, Hawaii. Not a bad place to deploy to, I can tell you that. I've been there, and it's a spectacular view of the ocean from the base there. It's up on the hillside. It's really nice. And they're getting ready to go to another school for training in missions. And Cody is going to share a little bit about that with us. And I think you got a video for
I
us.
Do.
And
yes.
Anyway, so give Cody and Heather a good hand. We're going to slip down for a minute so we can watch the video.
Yeah, so real quick, I just want to say good morning. It is so good to see everybody again. It's hard to believe that it's been a year now that Heather and I have left for Virginia for our transition and everything like that. But we're going to go ahead and run this video because I believe it gives a great foundation for the vision. So.
I can't help but notice that during Jesus' time with his disciples, when he would teach, he used stories. Stories that reached to great depths of thought. Stories that inspired. Stories that empowered, and more importantly, stories that brought truth, the truth. Think about it. The standard for how we are to live our lives, Jesus was a storyteller. Knowing who he was, and with all knowledge and authority, he knew what we needed, what was going to bring conviction, revelation, truth, and stand the test of time. We all have a story to tell, whether that's the story of salvation, of freedom from sin and bondage, or our own personal story. I too have a story, and it doesn't just stop with me. I believe God is calling me to tell other stories as well. Teaching, preaching, art, worship, fun, laughter. The list goes on. The little time that Jesus had with us on this earth allowed us to see God. And at the end of his time, he told the disciples to go out into all the earth and make disciples of all the nations. Go tell the stories. Show the world God. So yeah, just like that video says, I believe Jesus was a storyteller. How many of us with a show of hands know the story of the sower, the prodigal son, the talents? These were all stories or parables that Jesus used that had spiritual implications, had spiritual practices to them, and he taught that way. And so I believe Jesus has called me to be a storyteller as well, telling other people's stories with spiritual implications in different ways that we follow Jesus throughout our life. And I believe he's having me do it through video. You know, when I get on Facebook now, I can't help but within the first scroll, within the first couple of things, there's going to be a video, whether that's an advertisement, whether that's a friend's video, whether that's a TikTok or whatever it is. Video is more prominent than it ever has been. And I often have to wonder, what is video communicating? You know, I've coined this phrase, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, what does a video do? You know? And so I believe that through video, the gospel can be pushed. Whether like that video said there, other people's stories or teachings, times of worship, the reach is far beyond anything that we can imagine. I know that we were at a conference last year in November and it was an Eastern North American gathering for YWAM, but we were reaching people in Malaysia that were watching that live stream. And so video has the power to change lives, to inspire, to reach people when Heather and I can't necessarily either go or when we can't go, we can still be a part of getting the gospel out. And so right now I'm gonna go ahead and have Heather tell you guys how you've been a part of our story.
Is there a way to get that? No. We're trying to figure out the technical thing. So back in 2018, you guys sent us to Turkey. And right now, I'm sure most of you have heard of the devastation that is happening in Turkey. And the very city that was one of the epicenters of the earthquake was Malatya. And you sent us to Malatya. And so when we heard this personally, we were reaching out to our contacts and the missionaries that are there on the ground. And we're like, are you okay? What's going on? And through many of us reaching out, we ended up connecting with the church there that we partnered with, and we found out that everyone was okay. Some of them had lost their homes completely, but members of the church were okay, and they were alive and not harmed. And there was one girl when we were there in 2018 who was a part of this group, and her name was Maria. And Maria really impacted my life personally because of watching her and how she shared the gospel. Part of her story of how she came to Jesus, she came to Jesus, I'm not exactly sure how, but when she did, her family found out about it. And when they found out about it, her brother and her father literally tried to kill her. Like, she literally fled her home running out and left them behind. And I remember, like, hearing this, and, you know, it's like one thing to hear this here, but it's another thing to sit across the table from somebody who this is their story. And I remember being so humbled by that. But then when we were going out and we're doing evangelism with her, it's a closed nation. So we had to approach it very differently. And she completely defied the training. And she's a Turkish person, and she knows very well the rules. She knows the experience. And she would go out to the parks, and we would be sitting in a group of women all, you know, covered up, very devout Muslims. And she would go right for the heart of the gospel to them. And I remember just sitting there being like, wow, she is amazing. And the whole time that she traveled with us, we were really impacted. So again, coming back to hearing about the earthquake, I'm like, oh, is Maria okay? We ended up being able to contact her and found out that when the earthquake hit, God had sent them to another part of Turkey for a training, and she was okay. And she's like, yeah, I'm okay. And I just, again, saw the hand of God on her life and protecting her. So I asked her, now, you know, how are things? What are you guys doing? And I actually found out that she is partnering right now with a Foursquare church in Malatya who are doing boots on the ground type of work, providing needs and being there. And she said, for them, this is a big open door. And we know what she meant by that because they were very persecuted by Muslims in that city. And so now here they are bringing water and food and shelter to the Muslims there that they know these Christians they've persecuted. And so that's got to be speaking volumes. We've been kind of talking about that. That's even something God's been speaking to us this morning, even through Beth's word, like replacing fear with love. They are walking in that perfect love that casts out fear. And I believe that it is changing hearts in Turkey right now. And so if you guys would just continue to keep them in your prayers and all of the relief workers, but also the Muslims, because we also heard another story that in this event, apparently this group of Muslims ran into a mosque when the earthquake was happening to seek refuge, and the imam said, no, you can't come in here. The imam is the pastor. So the imam's like, you can't come in here. You're going to get the mosque dirty. So here they are fleeing for their lives, and then they knew, though, that the Christians would let them in. So a church opened their doors and let them in for shelter. And so we just keep hearing testimonies of how God is mightily working through this devastation. And so thank you guys, because you guys helped send us there. This is a part of your story. These testimonies that I'm sharing, you guys have personally sown into Malatya. And I believe that God is going to continue that work right now. So thank you guys so much. We love you. Miss you guys so much. Coming back, it's like, we're home. So, and thank you for your continued support. And we're going to be sure to keep you posted about Kona. So, yeah.
Pray for these guys. Amen. Yeah. Come on. Mm-hmm. Test, test, test. Come on now. Test, test, test. There we go. All right. So, you know, it, by the way, I was just in Virginia yesterday. Preached a little bit in Virginia at a pastor's conference and saw Missy France. You know Missy? And she, it was exciting. Just thinking about you guys. So excited about what God has for you. You know, you go way back and you trace this church, you know, because of its emphasis and heart for Nicaragua. It's how both of you guys got connected into missions. So we're excited to send you guys now to the next season. So would you stand real quick, stretch your hands out if you don't mind. Let's just pray for these guys. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're so thankful for your path that you make clear as we seek to follow you with all of our hearts. We're so thankful, Lord, that path just unfolds little by little, as we take steps of obedience following you. And this is the next step on the path for Cody and Heather and the boys. And Lord, I know you've gone before them. You're preparing the way for them. And excited to see what you will do through the storytelling abilities that will be cultivated through this training and this teaching and this time of learning and growing. Lord, continue to provide for them, bless them, encourage them, go with them. Lord, just let it be very clear that you've gone before, that you're making a way, and continue, God, even as they go through the school, to reveal what your next steps are in their lives and in their ministry. Bless them in Jesus' strong name. And everybody said amen? Amen. Hey, I got a little something down here for you guys. Give them a good hand, would you? It was a little blessing and a little gift to you guys. We love you all very much. So really proud of you guys. Hey, what's it take to get in that next video of yours? I'm just curious. I was like, wow, I see all kinds of people I know. There's some stars right back there.
Yes, that's true.
Some stars in the video, Anita and Marissa, and I think I saw Jose and Neil. And very cool. Very, very cool. There goes our young people. Lord, bless them. Bless them. Jesus' name. Hey, we have another wonderful guest. Let me do this first before we introduce our next guest. So here's how to give, okay? Because we believe in giving. Mm-hmm. In fact, we believe in what we call radical generosity for the kingdom of God. Amen. You can just zone in on that little QR code, or you can text New Song Louisville to 77977, or you can drop it in the bucket. When you leave, if you just want to do it the more traditional way, there's an offering envelope, I think, in your bulletin. Harvest Project, above and beyond our tithe, we give to what we call the Harvest Project. And this year's goal is $57,500. There's all of our missionaries. And here's our ministries. And you will notice the very corner, okay, the right-hand corner, Barren Heights. We've been supporting Barren Heights for a couple of years now, and we're excited to have the director of Barren Heights with us today. She's going to come and share, and our goal, $57,000, we're $9,474 into that this year. Can you give the Lord praise for that?
That's great.
And I want to introduce to you Abby Rose, and Abby's the director of Barren Heights, and we've asked her to come and share a little bit about the ministry, and she's got a cool table set up back there. So, Abby, good to see you, and thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
So a little bit about Barron Heights. Well, one, thank you all so much for supporting us for the last couple of years. We really appreciate it. Barron Heights is a retreat and community center for families who have children with physical and developmental disabilities. And we've been around for about 17 plus years now. So we're a small grassroots organization. We have a community center here in Louisville, Kentucky. And then our retreat center is actually in Scottsville, Kentucky. So about 2 hours south off Barron River Lake, that's the name, but also that comes from a verse, Isaiah 41:18, that talks about, I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valley. And it talks about, at the end of the verse, it says, so that people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. So our hope is that through serving these families, that they can see and know the Lord, it's being the hands and feet of God. So what the retreat center consists of, just to kind of keep you guys up to date, is it is four volunteer families that serve three guest families, and our guest families are families who have a child with physical or developmental disabilities. Now, when we say child, we actually serve any age group. We just serve the entire family. So we might serve somebody who has a child who is maybe 2 years old and has Down syndrome or autism or spina bifida, or we might serve somebody who is 40 years old with older parents. You know, it just depends. We believe God brings the right people to Barron Heights at the right time. So one of the things that we do is we serve the whole family. We do men's events, marriage events, women's events, and family events here throughout Louisville. So this past week, we had a family fellowship night where we served about 70 people at our community center and just got to serve them food, play with them. It wasn't anything more than that, but it was creating community and giving them a space to feel loved, accepted, welcomed, and safe. Because a lot of these families that we do serve tend to go places and maybe sense a lot of judgment, or maybe they can't afford to go out to eat a lot because, you know, they have therapies and doctor's appointments and a lot of things going on. So we really just want to create a space for community and a place where they just feel loved by those around them that are believers. And so one of my big kind of pushes right now is our retreat center starts up pretty soon. And we have 17 retreats in the summer, basically starts from the first weekend of June through mid-October. And it's pretty much every weekend. And so right now is where we're opening up our volunteer applications. And also we have a work day coming up as well, where we'll get the camp ready. We'll weed, mulch, trim. We actually got some damage with the winds that came, so some of it will be kind of cleaning that up a little bit. But basically, I would love to have your support and partnership on that. You know, we would love to have you join us. If you are family or just interested in serving, it's a very easy next step. We have plenty of volunteer spots still available. Any ages of families can come. We have people who come with two-year-olds and serve as a family. And one of my biggest desires of my heart is for families to truly serve together. I think there's something very special about children watching their parents serve and getting to serve alongside them. I think it embodies the verse, train a child in the way they should go, and when they grow old, they will not depart from it. I am fortunately a testament. My parents started Barron Heights when I was 7 years old. And so getting to serve alongside them, watching them serve, it has made a huge impact on my life. And so basically, just to give a quick overview, and I won't take too much time, the retreats themselves are from Friday evening through Sunday morning afternoon. And I think I said, four volunteer families that serve three guest families. It's a mixture of relaxing downtime for the families as well as some scheduled family activities. But it's not typically, you know, one family assigned to another family. It's really each volunteer family comes together and puts on the weekend. You know, it's people helping make food or breakfast, it's cleaning up, but ultimately it's playing and just having communication with these families and letting them know that you're here and you want to hear their stories. And so it's just a fun weekend, and at the end of it, you feel like family. Yeah, I would love for you to be a part of it. If you want to, I don't want to take too much time, but if you have any questions or want to learn more, feel free to visit me at the back table. So thank you for your support.
Thank you. Great job. Great job. Wow. Abby, we're proud of you and your sensitivity to the Lord to follow through with, continuing to help build and grow and bless what your mom and dad started. It's an amazing ministry. And they invited me to a lunch the other day, and they didn't know. I think they must have prayed, but they had my favorite Mark's Feed Store there. It was wonderful. So it was great to meet Abby and to hear more about what Barron Heights is doing. Let me show you a couple more slides just real quick. You can take a short-term mission trip as a family and serve, which is a cool thing. She mentioned that. And then here's the retreat center workday. We're planning on sending a team. In fact, my life group is planning on using that as their outreach opportunity. So, but any of you that want to go to see Pastor Bert, we're going to put together a team on Saturday, April 22nd, and go down and be a blessing. So would love for you guys to be a part. Make sure you get a chance to stop by and say hi to Abby and meet her and find out more about this incredible ministry. So Baptism Sunday coming. If you're interested or know anyone that needs to be baptized, March 26th, right here. And then also Night of Worship and Prayer this Wednesday night. So come out. It's going to be a great time just being in God's presence together as we worship and pray together. Amen. All right. How many of you are ready to jump into the Word for a few minutes? Everybody say with me, faith over fear. All right, say it again a little louder this time. Faith over fear. I don't know. We can do better than that. Come on, ready? At the count of three. One, two, three. Faith over fear. Amen, amen, amen. I want to dive in. I started the message last week, and sometimes, you know, when God is moving, you don't quite get through the whole message. So this morning, I want to kind of pick up and lay a little foundation and hopefully get to the end of this particular message. And we're starting a series called Faith Over Fear, and we're going to be in it for a few weeks. Faith works, okay? And this is a little play on words, but faith is just so incredibly important to our lives. It's not just simply about our salvation. There's so much more that faith brings into our lives if we will allow it. It produces results. It's active. Faith is something you and I exercise on an ongoing basis. It's not passive. Yes, it can be risky, but faith pleases God and makes a difference. We also talked about the fact that fear works. Fear is constantly trying to limit you, to come against you, to get you to doubt God's word, to get you to keep from stepping out, sharing your faith, doing anything that might be a risk. It literally robs, limits God, causes us to live below, if you will, God's desire for us. And that fear must be conquered through faith and love. Love, just like what Beth said this morning. So faith is having a strong conviction that something that is not yet will be. That is not yet will be. We made some general observations about faith last week. Romans 10:17 says simply this, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. There's a cycle, if you will, that happens, okay? Hebrews 4:2 tells us, it gives us an interesting insight. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith. You hear the word, you mix the word with faith, and then it brings about results. You hear the word, you read the word, you consume the word, you listen to the word, you get into God's word speaking to you, but you must mix it with faith for that word to bring about a prophet, a change, a blessing in your life. We talked about the gift of faith, and the gift of faith is that supernatural endowment, if you will, in our hearts and our lives, it's an extra measure of faith, if you will, for a given situation. It's a part of what we would call the gifts of the Spirit. And when you have that gift of faith operating in you, you know that you know. We talked about miraculous faith and how on a number of occasions in Jesus's life and ministry and even in the lives and ministries of the disciples, that there were situations where Scripture makes it really clear that a healing, a deliverance, a breakthrough, a blessing happened because the person had a measure of faith. They expressed faith. Miracles happen because faith was expressed. In fact, you go and read those passages, you'll see that clearly in God's Word. And today, I want to talk a little bit about the fact that Jesus also, pretty frequently in the Gospels, gets upset, gets frustrated, even rebukes those who have a lack of faith. Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 21, we're not going to read that whole passage right now, but Jesus gets extremely frustrated with his disciples in the midst of a situation where, quite honestly, they're not exercising the faith that he has instilled in them, taught them, encouraged them to have. There's a father and his boy, and the little boy is going through all kinds of torment from the enemy. And Jesus comes, and they've just come back off a ministry tour, but this situation has them absolutely perplexed. They can't figure out what to do. And Jesus basically says to them, "How long must I put up with you, you faithless generation?" It's really interesting because so many times when you see Jesus in the Gospels getting upset, it's either with the religious leaders of the day for their hardness of heart, or it's with the disciples for their lack of faith. Those are the two things that seem to cause Jesus the most consternation, the most frustration, is those two things. Mark 16, 14, it says, he later appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and their hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Now understand, this is a sensitive issue, and I want to be sensitive here for sure, and it's one that quite honestly affects me just as I'm sure it has at times affected you. I'm not here to beat anybody up over their lack of faith. Please understand that. But if Jesus gets concerned about this issue, maybe we should pay attention and ask Jesus to help us in this area. How many of you are hearing what I'm saying? Because your faith can get bruised. Your faith can get damaged. Your faith can, quite honestly, lessen and lower, if you will, because maybe some things happened. Maybe some things didn't turn out quite the way you thought they would. But let me ask you a question here this morning. Why would our unbelief or our lack of faith, why would that frustrate God? Why would that make Jesus frustrated? Why would he rebuke that? Why would he question that? That's a good question for you and I to ask. And I think the answer simply is this, because it tends to question and or deny, if you will, ultimately God's goodness and his willingness and his ability. And it becomes, or it can very easily become, questioning God's character. I love how my dear friend, he's now in heaven enjoying the presence of the Lord, Jerry Cook, used to say, he would say this, that God is predictably good. God is predictably good. Even when you and I don't understand it, even when there's a situation that doesn't quite work out like we're believing or hoping or praying, God is still predictably good, and he may well have a bigger picture and a bigger breakthrough or blessing than what you've simply been believing for. There's lots of people today who have had things happen along the way that quite honestly have caused their belief in God to be questioned, maybe even to be shattered. Maybe to be simply bruised And because of that, they're wandering around in the desert of unbelief, and they're hurting. And in all honesty, they're not experiencing the life that God desires for them. I want to help you today on that issue. I really do, because personally, I have been through those seasons of questioning. I've been through those seasons where in my own logical mind, I couldn't make sense of what was happening. I couldn't figure out in my reason why some prayers weren't answered, why some things didn't happen the way I had hoped and prayed and believed they would. Now I look back, it's been long enough that I look back and I understand that God was ultimately using those times to strengthen my faith. He was using those times to reveal himself in a deeper way to me. And he'll do the very same for you. The answer always in those situations when you feel like God hasn't come through or God's let you down, let me just say this, intimacy is always the answer. Sometimes we're looking for the answer of why. We ask that question, why? And all of us are prone to it. Why, God? Why did this happen? Why? Why didn't you do that? Why? Why didn't this come through? And John Eldridge says it this way, and I like it a lot. He says, you can either have answers to your questions or you can have God's presence. You choose. Intimacy with him's always the answer. You may not get the answer to the why question, but when you understand and know that he's with you very personally, very intimately, very caringly, like a father with his arm wrapped around a son or a daughter, and he's walking with you through those dark times, those deep times, those difficult times, that, let me tell you, absolutely will change your perspective. Number five, I want to talk just quickly, and let's lay the foundation for the fact that a lack of faith quenches miracles. Matthew chapter 13, it says, when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now, he did not do many mighty works there because of their, what? Their unbelief. You realize that every Sunday, you and I come into this house, this place, and we add into a culture here, if you will, of either faith and belief or doubt and unbelief. We're all carrying a component that builds into the corporate culture here. You either come in with an expectancy that God can do anything, or you come in with a sense in your heart and your mind that God's going to be limited in what he can do because your unbelief limits him. This is a big issue. What kind of atmosphere do we live in? I mean, really? Because we create the atmosphere we live in. In your home, you create the very atmosphere or culture that you live in your home. Is it a culture of faith or is it a culture of fear? Is it one that believes God can do anything or is it one that God is limited from doing anything because of your fear that quenches God's working in your home? It's not just simply about Nazareth. It's not just simply about Jesus going to his hometown and not many mighty works could be done there. The same could be said about some of our homes. Jesus couldn't do much in the Lamont home because of doubt and unbelief. He didn't do many mighty works there. Now, may that not be true. I want our home to be a place of miraculous power, of God being able to do anything and everything. And your home should be the same. Which is stronger? Really, it comes down to that issue. Which is stronger in your home? Which is stronger in your heart? Is it faith or is it fear? We've lived through a span of time. These last 2 to 3 years have tested everyone. Everyone I know has been greatly tested. And you've either come out of those 2 or 3 years of COVID and so many different dynamics with a stronger faith or with a beat down faith. And if your faith has been beat down, then I can almost guarantee you that fear has risen in your life. And you're living with an extreme amount of fear. Anxiety at its basis is actually just a kind of built up fear, right? It's fear and worry about the future. We're living in a day and a time where anxiety's epidemic, and it goes back to fear. We've allowed fear to become a defining thing in our society today. We're afraid of so many things, but perfect love casts out fear. I mean, you realize, right, that verse, which we love to quote, it's connotating, it's even kind of referencing, if you will, the casting out, ekbalo, of like the casting out of a demon, if you will. It just expels out of our life, and it's a pretty forceful thing. Fear, faith, and love just casts out fear. It goes. When you make faith and love the predominant thing in your heart and your life. How many of you hear me this morning? This is so important. Which is stronger in your heart? Which is stronger in your home? You will have to fight for a faith-filled atmosphere where God can do great things in your home and your family. My new friend I was telling you about last week, Phil Manganelli, He's one of the cool things that he's done is he's gone on a revival tour to specific places around the world where revival's broken out. And one of the places he recently visited is the New Hebrides Islands. And if you know much about revival, one of the last great revivals that touched a whole society, okay, Jesus Revolution and the Jesus movement of the 70s touched our society to some degree, but the New Hebrides revival had even a greater impact in the society where it was birthed in the New Hebrides. Those are some islands off the coast of Scotland. I know it's kind of an out-of-way place. It's hard to even get to. But let me tell you part of what happened there, and the recognizable name is Duncan Campbell. And Duncan will say it started with altars in people's hearts, and then altars in people's homes, and then altars in churches, and then it spread to the community. And my friend Phil's been teaching about restoring the altar of your home. Man, do our homes need to be a place of holiness, a place of God's presence, a place where God's peace is serene and abounding, where when people come in, there's not confusion and frustration and anger, but they come in and they feel and they sense and they know, man, this is a place where the presence of God's been cultivated. And then there's, in this whole Consword laying a foundation for faith, there's a need to confess, if you will, a lack of faith. And I don't know about you, but I love this story. The father of the demon-possessed son. The son keeps falling into the fire. Jesus has compassion. Mark chapter 9, it says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Anybody here ever felt that way? There are 3 or 4 of you. I'm going to put both my hands up because I've been there. Really want to believe, Lord. I really want to believe. Help me. Help me. Help me. I really want to believe. I love this father. I'm so thankful he made it into Scripture, aren't you? There's these little caveats in scripture that just can bring, if you will, such hope to us, right? This little father who could have even been, you know, not included in the story. It could have all been about the son, but the Jesus speaks to the father, and the father, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. He's just being honest with no pretense, no pretend, gut level honest before God. And let me just say, Jesus honors that. You might only have, imagine that little mustard seed just on the end of my pinky, just be a little tiny thing. You might only have that little mustard seed of faith. You might be struggling, but when you say to the Lord, I believe, Lord, and help me with my unbelief, he honors that. He honors that. Next is the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11. The just shall live by faith in God's word, God's ways, and God's works. Even though we don't see it yet. By the way, if you already see it, it's not faith, right? We're called to be people who live by faith. Let me just make a quick observation here, and it's a very important one. As we build and seek the Lord in these weeks to come for our faith to rise, for our faith to be strengthened, there's a lot of us who've never moved beyond a saving faith. We exercise faith in him. We believed in him to transform us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, to adopt us into his family as his sons and daughters, to save us, to be born again. We've believed him. We've trusted him to forgive our sins and to save us. But what about faithing that God can do the supernatural in and through you now? What about having the kind of faith that says to God, you can do whatever you want, God, in my circumstances to display your glory? What about that kind of faith? Sadly, we oftentimes we reason ourselves out of faith instead of believing ourselves into something wonderful for God's glory. And when we give all the reasons why something can't happen instead of believing the promises of God that say they can happen. Let's move toward our anchor scripture that we're going to be using over these next weeks. Because context is everything. I want you to understand this passage. There's Jewish believers, the book of Hebrews, it's interesting, there's Jewish believers who are literally losing their faith. And they're turning back, turning away from their newfound faith in Christ because of persecution that has hit them. Similar to what you and I are probably going to be walking through in the days ahead, right? We're going to be tested with persecution in this world like maybe we've never been tested before. And the writer of the book of Hebrews has a word to them and to us about faith, especially faith in a tough time. Hebrews 10:38, it says, now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And this is going to give us our biblical definition of faith, right? From scripture itself, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Powerful scripture. Substance. literally means a pillar, an immovable, a foundation, an assurance that what you hope for will happen. So that kind of substance is always rooted in God's word, God's ways, and God's works. Every great act of faith, every person who's ever been a person of great faith displays a confident assurance that what they're hoping for will happen. Corrie ten Boom says it this way. I love Corrie ten Boom. Faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. Then he says it's the evidence of the not seen. It's the proof. It's the conviction in your heart that the unseen and the not yet will become the seen and enjoyed. Every great act of faith displays a conviction that the currently unseen will become seen. Listen, the substance and evidence of the world is that which is material, physical, tangible, right? But the substance of the kingdom of God is that which is spiritual, supernatural, and often unseen. Faith is, you might say, otherworldly, and yet it does absolutely affect our world. I want to close it with one more story. I know we're going a little bit over time today, but I want to get through this quickly today. This is a great demonstration of the principles of faith that we've just discussed, and we'll close with this. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34, it says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had, and she was no better." Wow, that's a depressing situation for sure, right? "When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But the disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging around you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" She heard about Jesus. She heard about his ways. She heard about his words. She heard about his works. And she said to herself, "If I can just touch him, I'll be made well." She had a confident assurance that had built up in her heart that what she was hoping for, though currently unseen, would be seen. Jesus says to her, "Your faith has made you well." Listen, friends, when our faith touches Jesus, his miracle power touches us. I'm so glad that she didn't reason or excuse her way out of her miracle. Quite honestly, she lived a very difficult life for all those years, right? Because she would have been considered unclean in the society, and she would have been shunned. In fact, breaking through and pressing through to this miracle was a real act of faith, right? It took a lot of guts and risk on her part. Yet she presses through the crowd in faith. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist of the past, says, "God doesn't expect the impossible from us. He wants us to expect the impossible from him." Isn't that cool? So I want to close today with just asking you the question, where can we start expecting, believing, faithing, if you will, putting our faith, exercising our faith, not being a passive thing, but being a believing of God to do the impossible, because all things are possible. Scripture says, to him who believes. Would you stand with me as we close? Here's what I want to do today. I've really sensed this from the Lord. And we talked about pain earlier. There's currently some situations in my wife and I's life that are so far from what God wants them to be. And they've been real sources of hurt and pain and even at times disillusionment in our lives. And I'd like to ask you just to hold your hands out in front of you. Just open your palms, if you will, out in front of you. And here's what I want you to do, and I'm doing it with you, okay? I want you to take whatever that is, that source of pain or disillusionment, the thing that caused your faith to be bruised, the thing that you haven't seen a breakthrough in, the thing that has nagged you, bothered you, depressed you at times, caused you to question God and his goodness at times, whatever that is, I want you to take it and I want you to offer it to him today. I want you to give it to God today, to hold it out to Jesus. Whatever that impossible thing is or was, I want you to give it to him. And I want you to, in the midst of it, say in your heart, I believe you, Lord. And I trust you, Lord. And forgive me for my lack of faith. And restore faith in my heart once again to trust you and to believe you, that you can do the impossible, that you can do anything. Now would you just take and lift your hands to the Lord and let that go. Just let that go. Just keep your hands up there and worship him with me for a minute. Lord, we just worship you in your greatness and your goodness and your awesomeness. Lord, like it was said long ago, when we can't trace your hand, we can trust your heart. Lord, in those times when we've struggled with our unbelief, help us to believe. Help us to believe. Heal, if you will, even, Lord, our bruised or damaged faith, that we can trust you again to do what you want to do in and through our lives for your glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' strong name. Everybody said amen. Can you give the Lord praise this morning? Just give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming today. Don't forget to visit the Barron Heights booth back there. Don't forget to say hi to Zach. Don't forget to say hi to Cody and Heather. Lord, go with us. Make your face shine upon us and your light shine through us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great day.